but he was very keen and eager this morning. And as Craig Williams said yesterday, he was a sleeping dragon last week. He's come alive now, and that was very much the case this morning. Galo Chop, similarly, he worked on the sand fibre with his stablemate Master Zephyr, and didn't do a lot. Highland Reel was on the course proper with Kingfisher and Bondi Beach. He worked over 800 metres and just a tick over 52 and looks right on track for Saturday.
Okay, so they're all there and they're ready to go. What about the Melbourne Cup horses, Max Dynamite?
Max Dynamite, the interval training king. He did two separate bits of work today, both over 1,600 metres, and in between those, he'll just go off and do like a 600-metre dash. He'd be the fittest horse at Werribee. Incredible, just the way that Willie Mullins has his team go about it, and must be bear in mind that a couple of years ago that he did the same thing with Simonon, who ran top four at the Melbourne Cup. So this horse is not to be taken lightly.
He's been forgotten because he hasn't raced. He's the forgotten one for mine.
And Frankie Dettori to ride him as well. So
exactly.
Come race day, there'll be some interest in him for sure.
All right, mate, we'll leave it there. We'll chat again tomorrow on Cox Plate Eve. And next Thursday, a week today, we'll be once again at Werribee. Horses going towards the Melbourne Cup Carnival. So that's next Thursday again from Werribee down in Melbourne. Thanks very much for that, Leo.
Thanks, Andrew. Cheers, mate.
Leo Schlink joining us there. The Spring Racing Carnival is a time for celebration, but we hope you can spare a moment to think about our courageous jockeys. They risk their lives every time they race. Luke Reeves Super honours our jockeys by supporting fallen riders and their families as partners of the National Jockeys Trust. Just look at the jockey breeches over the carnival. The name on every backside is Luke Reeves Super, Australia's first industry fund and proud supporter of the National Jockeys Trust. Luke Reeves Super, the name behind every jockey this spring, literally. And I'm going to leave it there. Brett Devine will join us later in the morning to talk about night racing. It begins tomorrow night at Canterbury, so that'll come up later. Repeating the news from Nigel Blackiston Stable this morning that Let's Make a Deal looks like she suffered an off-fore tendon, has been scratched from Moonee Valley on Saturday, and obviously if that's confirmed with scans, she'll be out for 12 months. As I say goodbye from Racing HQ, one of our good mates celebrates his birthday today. Johnny Tapp. Tappy will be out there working his paces there, his standard bred horses. He turns, will I say how old he is?
The anniversary of his 21st.
Exactly. I won't say how old you are, Tappy, bar saying you certainly don't look in your 70s.
Oh!
Tappy, happy birthday, mate. From everybody here at Sky, I hope it's a great day with Anne and the family. After the break, it's Tab Talk, Ray Thomas talking racing, Simon O'Donnell talks racing and cricket.
And the rough and racing.
Won by a country mile or just plain unlucky. Either way, it has Back Me Next Start written all over it. Don't miss a winner this carnival with Black Book Racing Central. Black Book Racing Central is the app that keeps you ahead of the game. Whether it's thoroughbreds, harness or the greys, you'll receive alerts whenever your saved runners are racing. Find Black Book Racing Central in the Apple Google Play stores or visit blackbookracingcentral.com.au.
Get your complete Saturday racing wrap on Thoroughbred Weekly.
Sunday mornings at 9, Greg Radley, Ron Duffacy, Richard Friedman and trainer Bjorn Baker put their unique twist on group racing.
Probably wants the jar out of the track, which I'm sure they'll be all squealing for now. The water Flemington, water Flemington.
Oh, it's very firm, yes.
Thoroughbred Weekly, Sunday morning at 9 on Sky Thoroughbred Central, Foxtel Channel 521 and your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Sky Sports Radio gives you the complete package to back winners every day. We've got it all covered with Racing HQ, Tab Talk, the Early Mail and the National Racing Service. And our studio team aren't afraid of jumping right into it.
Transmedia's got our well from Box 7, but plenty of speed from Shaylord George on the inside. Obo Jane is up to third and moving up to fourth was Mersley Bouncer.
Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Puntershow.com.au brings you the big guns of punting. Darren Potter's Melbourne Sets. Vince Accardi's Race Speed Profiles. John Walter, live in the chat room. Mark Lamborn's Sydney Form. John McLeod, our Brisbane expert. Glenn Pollitt and Warren Huntley's Mounting Yard Mail. And the Hong Kong winners. All the big guns. of punting in one convenient location. Puntershow.com.au.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. You're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning, everyone. It is 10:05 with Sue and Cosgrove and from the tab.com.au, Nick Quinn. Morning, Quinny. How are you?
Very well, Cosy. How are you heading into Cox Plate weekend?
Yeah, look, it's just a magnificent weekend of racing. I mean, the focus now does sort of head to Melbourne for the next couple of weeks. Friday night, the Mankato Stakes. Great night of racing there at Money Valley. And then Saturday, they line up for a ripper. This is a absolute cracking Cox Plate field.
If you can find the winner, the value will take care of itself, won't you? Obviously, there's so many unknown elements. I mean, Highland Reel does head the market, and Coolmore sound very confident about his chances. Obviously, they got the job done with Adelaide last year. There has been reports in the media this morning they do think Highland Reel is a better credentialed runner than Adelaide for the Cox Plate, and it's easy to see why there has been good support for him on the fixed odds over the course of the last week, where he's firmed from $7 into $5.
Yeah, as you say, it's just going to be absolutely fantastic to see the meeting. Adelaide last year just whipped around the outside, and you're looking and thinking, can you keep going out that wide? But he just had a big motor, didn't he, and plenty of fuel on board. And Aidan O'Brien, he's come out here in the past. He had a couple of cracks at the Melbourne Cup. One of them I think he just liked to forget about completely when those three went out in front and finished up at the back of the field and they called him in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, since then, there's been a learning curve. They know now. They've come back and they've got it perfected.
Well, they have. And let's face it, I mean, they're tactics in that Melbourne Cup, won by Viewed, where he nosed out Bow, which will be no doubt a topic point when Simon O'Donnell comes on in a couple of minutes' time to join us. Their tactics were absolutely horrendous. I mean, Septimus was rated one of the best stayers in the world at that stage, and they ran the trifecta that day, but just at the wrong end of the field, and the stewards rightfully called them in because they've just made a complete meal of it. But they've gone away and they've taken their time and they've come back, and I think they'd take a lot of satisfaction out of winning back-to-back Cox Plates, because let's face it, a lot of us were shaking our heads at us what they did that day. The media rightfully had a crack at them and punters across the country were furious.
Well, Simon O'Donnell's joining us now. Morning, Simon. How are you?
G'day, Sean. G'day, Nick.
Hello, Simon. Morning. How are you heading into the big one on Saturday?
Yeah, it is a big one. I've never been party to participating in the Cox Plate other than a interested onlooker, so it's pretty exciting stuff.
Now, the horse you've got hold of, Galo Chop, tell us a bit about the horse. He's a last start winner.
Yeah, last start winner, Sean. Look, he's at his best distance. 2,000 metres is where he operates at the top level. He is a genuine on-pace horse. He runs a strong 2,000 metres. We know he's a tough son of a gun, and that's exactly what you've got to have to be competitive in a race like this. So you know, we think we've got a number of things going the right way for us. And Lady Luck, of course, will play her part tomorrow as well.
Now, Simon, over the years, yourself, OTI, you've been very successful with these imported horses. We hear others say, gee, it's getting harder and harder to get them, they're getting dearer and so forth. How do you go about sourcing them, and was this bloke very expensive?
Look, he wasn't. We probably got this fellow on the way up, and that was a key ingredient to being able to afford him. Yes, you know, people are quite right. You know, the obvious horses are very, very expensive. So you know, you've got to be working not only around the obvious horses. You've got to be working on the horses that are showing the right potential and ticking off certain criteria that you think may make it here as a staying prospect in Australia. So the game's changed a bit. That just makes it harder, doesn't make it any easier. But, you know, when you get a horse to a race like the Cox Plate, it is very satisfying for all concerned.
Now, Simon, he's recently come out of quarantine heading into the race. How do you think he'll handle Moonee Valley?
Look, Nick, that's a key question. If you take a line through, you know, this will be his most unique race meeting he's been to in his career. He had the experience of the Prince of Wales at Ascot, which we think will hold him in good stead. you know, the closeness of the crowd there and the mounting yard and going underneath the grandstands out onto the track. So he's had, you know, a practice run, if you like, under those sorts of conditions. But as we all know, that's what horses have got to be able to do, whether it be Caulfield Cup Day, Melbourne Cup Day, Derby Day, Oaks Day, all those big days. People are around, there's noise, they know there's something big about to happen. Horses have got to have the constitution to be able to handle that as well.
So, I mean, looking at his form, he looks like he's been a pretty handy traveller. He's been all around France. I think he's been at the German border there as well. I think he went to Belmont for the Derby and finished fourth. Adelaide ran second in that race.
Yeah, and all those things we think, you know, hold us in good stead, Sean. You know, yes, he has travelled and raced well off the back of a trip in America last year. Yes, he's been to a course like Ascot and experienced the closeness of a crowd and a tunnel walking out onto the track and silence and then noise. All those sorts of things we think, you know, we've hopefully rounded him off or assisted to round him off to give him his best on Saturday. Now, whether his best is good enough, I can't answer that question until the end of the race.
Now, Simon, a race you've had success in without winning is the Melbourne Cup, and I dare say it's obviously your ultimate dream to take out that feature race. Now, Galo Chop for Mine, a $31 chance for the Cox Plate on Saturday, 100-1 in Melbourne Cup markets. I'm starting to get the feeling he might be better suited at Flemington the first Tuesday in November.
Oh, we'll get Saturday out of the road first. I look forward that far. You know, if I was a betting man, I'd be concentrating on Saturday. I don't think he's a 2 mile horse. I'd be inclined to think he'd be more a McKinnon type horse than going to a Melbourne Cup. But look, we'll just get Saturday out of the road, and there'll be lots of different discussions, but. There's no inkling there at the moment to think that suddenly 3200 is going to be firmly put on his radar after Saturday.
Simon, just take us through Bowers Melbourne Cup, because there would have been a lot of people who would have watched that day, and you would have experienced the total spectrum of emotions from looking and thinking, my God, we are finally going to win the Melbourne Cup, and then have we, and then, oh my God, we haven't.
You've never liked me, Sean, have you?
No, you're a good mate. You're right. I tell you, it must have just been heaven then to hell.
Oh, yeah, it was heaven to hell. You know, we thought we'd won the race. My dad always said to me, you know, if you've got the momentum on the line, 99 times out of 100, you win it.
Yeah.
I thought we had the momentum on the line. The more you watch the replay, probably, and I have watched it, unfortunately, a few times, probably four or five strides out, you see him open his mouth, he's gone. He can't give any more. And, you know, it was just, look, it was a wonderful race. And to see the horse come out of the pack, and we're going right back to 2008 now, you know, to see him come out of the pack that day and put himself into the race after Blake Sheen, you know, shot off at the turn and said, catch me if you can on Vude. That furlong is firmly entrenched in my memory, and it will stay there for a long, long time, because that was still, even though we didn't win the race, my greatest thrill in race.
Yeah, I would imagine that. And I reckon, you know what, for I don't know how many seconds, you would have thought we've won the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, we did. And you know, it was probably for 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's what winning a Melbourne Cup feels like, you know, bring it on, I say. I'd like to be winning more and more of them. So it'd be nice to get a runner this year. We're looking a bit light on to be about on the first Tuesday. But you know, last year we had a wonderful opportunity with multiple runners in the race, and we didn't get anywhere near it. So we'll just keep chipping away.
Well, Simon, that was my next question heading in towards the Melbourne Cup this year. What runners are you hopeful or trying to get into the race?
Realistically, you know, probably Kalo Chops is. But, you know, you'd have serious reservations the way he races, whether 2 miles going to be really on his, you know, realistic possibility. And then outside of that, you know, we're a bit were a bit light on. Renew would have had to have won the Geelong Cup and got a hell of a penalty yesterday. He'll run on Cup David in the Lavazza. So, you know, I would think, you know, we're well down the track of watching the race this year without having the nervous tensions leading into it with a run or two in the race.
Hopefully you'll still have the excitement, though, of having runners at Flemington over the carnival. Apart from Renew, is there one or two you've penciled in for races?
Yes, you know, Mandawi ran well yesterday in the Geelong Cup, so you know, he's now sort of put himself on the radar to be a prospect for you know, Queen Elizabeth, something of that note. Renew will go around. You know, there's a couple of others that'll... Tall Ship will all going well running the on Cup Day in a 9 furlong race. You know, so we'll be there and thereabouts with some nice prospects, but I don't think we'll be there for the big dance.
Now, one thing I've noticed about owning horses with OTI and following OTI is that you do like to spread your trainers. What's your little theory on that?
Oh, look, I suppose you know, we're in a competitive world and you like people to be as competitive as possible. So, you know, we you know the trainers, I suppose, that or we think we've got to know over the years trainers that are competitive and love to compete, and we sort of really piggyback on what they're trying to do. So there's no great science to it other than if guys are training well, we try to work with them. On the other hand, you know, we do have a real shine for Ballarat at the moment with their training facilities and their opportunity of a straight uphill gallop. Now, we think that for our overseas horses is something that just breaks down the acclimatisation, if you like, from the different training methods in both hemispheres and different training surrounds. It just helps them acclimatise that little bit, and if that can add half a length, well, who knows? It might be the important short nose or short half head that wins you a big race.
And Simon, on another sport that you know a little bit about, cricket, we're only a couple of weeks away from the first test, Australia-New Zealand. What do you expect from Australia this season?
I tell you what, Sean, I've never known sort of expectation like it for the Kiwis.
Really?
You know, generally, it's a bit of a flat spot when the Kiwis are coming over, but they are armed and dangerous.
Really?
You know, they've got a really good bowling attack. You know, their batters have proved to be first class around the world over the last couple of years. So if ever the Kiwis are really going to give us a fright, particularly with the turnover of personnel we're going to experience, I think they're in it up to their ears. So I'm really looking forward to it. The bit I'm probably a little disappointed about is, you know, you just hope the West Indies can get their act together and create us a good Boxing Day and a good Sydney, because you know, they've been bordering on a rabble for a number of years now with internal problems rife in their cricket. So fingers crossed they've got their act together. But I think the Kiwis are going to be a great battle.
Geez, it might be unbearable, though, if they knock us off in the Test Series on the back of winning the Rugby World Cup. We might have to just make sure we don't have any correspondence with our friends across the ditch.
Oh, mate, just go to ground.
Simon,
apart from your runners on the weekend, who are you tipping in the Cox Plate? Who do you think looks the hardest to beat or the best suited?
Oh, look, I thought Criterion's run the other day was fantastic, you know, and I love seeing horses travel and do well, and he's travelled and run well, and he ran okay in the Prince of Wales. He's run in Hong Kong, and he's come back here, and you know, on a firm track at Caulfield, and did the job. So you know, the stable's in form. So I think you know the local hopes Criterion's probably got to be the main one. Winx is wonderful. You know, she's got a real turn of foot. Whether it's there with 400 to go in the Cox Plate, you know, we're about to find out. I think the great thing about a Cox Plate, and if you go through its history, ordinary horses don't win Cox Plate.
No.
Now, you have to be bomb-proof over 2,040 metres. You have to... if you've got a chink in your armour, you get found out in the Cox Plate. And, you know, the best horse will win it. I'm not sure who the best horse is, but you make no excuses in Cox Plates. You know, we probably spend most of the year saying, you know, horses didn't handle Mooney Valley, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Well, they're just bad horses. These are our best weight for age horses. They'll handle Mooney Valley, and the best horse will win.
Well, let's, for your sake, hope it's Galo Chop. Good luck on Saturday, Simon. And, mate, great to catch up with you, and good luck through the Spring Carnival, too.
Good on you. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Simon. Simon O'Donnell there. Always great to catch up with him at 20 past 10. Sky Sports Radio, Tab Talk. Ray Thomas joining us now, racing editor of the Daily Telegraph. Morning, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Ray. You must be very excited ahead of the weekend of racing.
Yeah, look, what a fantastic Cox Plate it is on Saturday, and, of course, the Manikato tomorrow night. But I was just listening to Simon just then, and he's nailed it, hasn't he, boys? The Cox Plate's not won by inferior horses.
No.
We always talk about the circumference of the track, how it's tight, how it's turning, the short straight, how horses can strike trouble. But it's extraordinary how, more often than not, the best horse wins the Cox Plate because, for that reason, he is the best horse. And there's been a lot of talk during the week about a high-pressure Cox Plate. And if you think back over the years, boys, how often are they not high pressure? Mm. I can recall Maldivian about the only one. This is why the best horse wins the Cox Plate, boys, because it's a stamina test and the good horses rise to the occasion.
So what's your prediction, Ray?
Look, again, I sort of agree with Simon, I think. I like Criterion and I like Kermadec and Winx from the Chris Waller stable. I thought there was nothing wrong with Criterion's Caulfield Stakes win, and significantly there was improvement from the horse out of the Cox, out of the Caulfield Stakes into the Cox Plate. And talking to David Hayes during the week, Nick, he says this horse, no, it's not Better Loosen Up, I'll rephrase that, but this race is setting up very similarly to what Better Loosen Up did 25 years ago. If you recall then, Style of Century went out at Oakley Plate speed, and at one stage, Better Loosen Up was probably 30 lengths off the lead. High pressure Cox Plate, he wore them down, he won. It's going to be the same case on Saturday with the cleaner in this field, and then you've got horses like A-Rod who goes forward, Hive and Wheel races up on speed. I dare say Marino will have to come across from 12, so it won't be any place for the faint-hearted, but Criterion's just so tough. He's rock-hard fit now. And he's a 2,000-metre specialist. His Quinners the Stakes win at Randwick during the autumn was outstanding. And last year, he was a bit unlucky in the Cox Plate, if you recall, behind Adelaide. And obviously, he's a much better horse now.
Of the imports, and you've studied them a lot, Ray, which stands out to you? Which is Highland Real V1?
I think so, yeah. And just to talk out of the Coolmore camp, they've got a massive rap on this horse. On a par, if not slightly better than Adelaide, coming through a similar preparation that Adelaide had last year. And look, he's a high quality galloper, isn't he, Highland Reel? And Ryan Moore here, I think the key to him was the barrier. He's drawn perfectly in gate four, so he'll just lob there probably behind the cleaner and get a lovely run. And look, if he's as good as Adelaide, and if not better, then he is the horse to beat. He's going to be up there giving you a great side. I'm not underestimating A-Rod. He's obviously a very, very good horse, and just can't quite line up Galo Chop, though, boys. I think he might struggle a bit, but Simon sounded reasonably confident there, and it'd be a good each-way chance. So I think of the internationals, Highland Reel was the standout.
You know, there's one horse that hasn't really been mentioned that much, and possibly because he missed out on getting a run on the Caulfield Cup, is Complacent, and he's a fresh horse coming up, and he's in terrific form.
Yeah, and I was actually talking to John O'Shea this morning about this Cox Plate, and I said, oh, look, Complacent will be up outside the cleaner, and he said, no, he doesn't want to be there. We've seen in Sydney Complacent being up on the speed. He believes as Complacent is running second or third, he's going too quick. So his estimation is that the cleaner will roll forward, lead Highland Reel, and A-Rod will go forward, probably with Marino. He doesn't want to be in that first wave behind the cleaner boys because he thinks this will be on for young and old. So expect Complacent probably to settle about fifth. Look, he's tough, he's hard, he's a very, very good horse. Whether he can win a Cox Plate, I don't know, but he's been the comeback story of the spring, and he's certainly very fit. He was prepared for a Caulfield Cup, so I'm not sure if he has the brilliance to win a Cox Plate, but then again, boys, it's going to be such a high-pressure test. Perhaps the best day of wins.
Look, it's just so fascinating. That's what I love about this Cox Plate. There's so many unknown elements, and you can make a case for and against every single runner in the field. Now, Chris Waller is going to have a strong hand on what happens. He's got three runners. He's got Winx, Kermadec, and also Preferment. We'll start by taking a look at Winx. She's been simply outstanding this campaign, having won four in a row. Do you think she has got the class to win a Cox Plate, right?
class for the capital C, Nick. And look, I know there's been a lot of talk about the one gate and whether that'll suit her or not. Look, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, given this is going to be such a solidly run race, isn't it? If it was a stop-start race, you'd think, oh, Hugh Bowman's in trouble. But they'll string out here, boys. Make no bones about that. And so here he's riding in such superlative form. He'll have her off the fence and ready to strike at the right time. I don't think there's a horse in this race, boys, that has the finishing speed of Winx. And I think her effort to win the Epsom was simply outstanding, because to get basically knocked over on the home turn, rebalance under the big weight that she carried, and then dispose of a quality Group 1 field, you know, quite quickly, in a matter of a couple of bounds, that's the sort of acceleration she's got. I think she's going to get the right sort of run here, Nick, and given that speed up front, it'll give her the opportunity to get off the fence and make her a finishing sprint, and I think she's right in this race.
The one good thing about Mooney Valley, despite the fact it's got such a short straight, you can come out wide, sustain a run around them. Adelaide proved that, and when you look at Mackayby Divas Cup, there's that wonderful shot about the 700. Well, there's about 12 of them across the track.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I said earlier, Sean. The best horses win the Cox Plate because it is a true test of stamina, and you can count on one hand in the last 30 years the number of Cox Plates that weren't run at a pretty much a frenetic tempo, couldn't you? So, and I think the quality of this year's race is emphasised by the fact you've got a Turnbull winner, Nick, performance $13.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. Right.
Well, in past years, Green Moon went round the Cox Plate at about $4 by memory. You've got Faulkner, who up until the Caulfield Stakes, and I dare say a couple of those horses that failed in the Caulfield Stakes, like Faulkner and even Pornichet, should be given another chance given that firm track. Prior to the Caulfield Stakes, Faulkner was racing virtually in career best form. He's out at about $15 now, boys. He was beaten narrowly in the Cox Plate last year by Adelaide. So that underlines to me the quality of this year's field. There's probably no champion like a Better Loosen Up or a Sunline or a Mackayby Diva, but there's 14 horses, as Nick said earlier, who could, you can make a case, could win this race.
You make an excellent point about Faulkner, and I've got a good little statistic that in his 29 career starts, Faulkner has only once started a longer price than his Cox Plate odds. That was the 2013 William Reid. He ran third that day. Can you remember who won that race, Ray?
Was that Black Caviar's
spot
race?
On, yeah, spot on. Yeah. So it's taken Black Caviar to send him go around a longer price. And if you take out his last run in the Caulfield Stakes, where the top four runners in the run finished at the back end of the field, you can make a case for him, and I think that's the beautiful thing about it. Now, Kermadec's another fascinating one.
Yep.
Did Kermadec run a strong 2000 in the Caulfield Stakes, and can he get to the 2040?
I think he had too much to do in the Caulfield Stakes, Nick, and Gate 10 is probably going to cause a couple of little issues for Glenn Early, but again, I go back to that earlier point about the tempo, and I think he'll eventually get across and find cover. I don't think there's any doubt about him running 2,000 metres, boys. We're certainly going to find out on Saturday, because this will be a real stamina-sapping test, but again, he's a horse coming out of that Caulfield meeting 2 weeks ago where you've got to give him another chance. Up until then, his preparation towards the Cox Plate had been absolutely perfect. He wasn't anywhere near his peak on George Main Stakes, boys, when he won at Randwick here. He looked almost at his top on Caulfield Stakes. So you saw a touch of improvement going forward out of that. But don't sack him at all from that Caulfield Stakes run. And Nick, I think he will run the 2,000 metres right out.
And finally, Ray, the Mankato Friday night looks a ripper. Chautauqua, Tura Vista, Buffering, Shirkandy. Can they beat Chautauqua?
Look, is there a horse in Australian racing with a more dynamic finishing sprint over sprints than Chautauqua? We talk about Winx when she gets up to a mile and further, but over sprints, Chautauqua does the most incredible things. And I go back to his TJ Smith Stakes win at Randwick during the autumn when really he was not entitled to finish top three. He got into all sorts of trouble in an awkward spot coming to the turn, had to skis off heels, was last into the straight. Somehow he managed to run them down and win. That's the sort of horse he is. Again, the other day in the Gilguy Stakes, boys, Dwayne Dunn was in a spot of bother up the straight at Flemington, but once he found enough galloping room to squeeze through, in a matter of two bounds, he was in front. And look, I think providing Tommy Berry can get sort of clear galloping room from about the 600, he has drawn barrier two, he's got Terra Vista inside him. Look, I think provided Chautauqua was in clear galloping room from the 600, he'll be the one sweeping around the outside coming after Buffering. Last year we saw a sprint race for the ages when Lincoln Rupee won it. I think we're going to see another one tomorrow night, but with even luck in running, I'm on Chautauqua's side.
Chautauqua $1.95 has been the second best backed runner in the race. The best backed, the mighty popular Buffering, $9 into $7. Obviously very impressive when resuming with a win in the Moyer Stakes. Now, we've just had Andrew Bensley enter the studio, so Sean, we do need to get that lock fixed, but he's just said that Al Moon Quith has been re-handicapped to 53 kilos in the $6.2 million Melbourne Cup, so that is a 1 kilo penalty. So be touch and go to see whether Al Moon Quith can slither into the Melbourne Cup on the back of that dominant Geelong Cup win. Now, there's racing across the country on the weekend, Ray. Can you leave us with a winner, please?
Look, at Randwick on Saturday, I think we'll give Star Turn another chance, boys. I know he was a little bit disappointing on debut, but he was inside runners that day, and I think he, if he gets outside of runners, which he will from Gate 5 and the Pierrot Plate, he'll be really hard to beat. And give Cassiano Ladd another chance. He was beaten here at Randwick 2 weeks ago. Bit of rain up here, boys, so I think he'll bounce back off that, give him another chance in Race 4.
Good on you, Ray. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All the best, Sean. See you, Nick.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Thomas, Racing Editor, Daily Telegraph there. Quinny, good to catch up.
Thank you very much, Cos.
All right, we'll talk to you later on. It is 10:30, Sky Sports Radio.
Don't be a scaredy cat. Bring along your little monsters for a frightfully fun family day at Tabcorp Park Menangle, Sunday, November 1. Fisher's Ghost Race Day costs nothing to get in and has stacks of free fun, including free fairy floss, free pony rides, free face painting and free children's rides. Plus midi trotters, food stalls and a great race program featuring the final of the Indigenous Drivers' Championship. Make Tabcorp Park Menangle your new haunt, Sunday, November 1.
And the rough and racing...
by a country mile or just plain unlucky. Either way, it has Back Me Next Start written all over it. Don't miss a winner this carnival with Black Book Racing Central. Black Book Racing Central is the app that keeps you ahead of the game. Whether it's thoroughbreds, harness or the greys, you'll receive alerts whenever your saved runners are racing. Find Black Book Racing Central in the Apple Google Play stores or visit blackbookracingcentral.com.au.
Why watch the races on TV when you can get your backside to Rexide? You could win a VIP experience with five